The end is just ahead. The prize is right before us, as we hear in this opening comment from our teacher, Mike McIntosh, to begin today's edition of CNV.
Don't turn back. You're almost there, ladies and gentlemen. You're almost home. You're almost ready to enter into the joy of the Lord, good and faithful servant. You're almost on the streets of gold. It's here before you. You can see the oozing of the living water. You can touch the bread of life. You can see the kingdom of heaven. Don't turn back.
And I'll stand up and shout and praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Welcome to a brand new year and the January 1st broadcast of Chapter and Verse, where we're taking part in a survey of the New Testament book of John. Some of the key verses from our text are 66 to 71, where it says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away?" That's the question that's before us today. Are the trials and difficulties you're facing becoming overwhelming? The Apostle Peter answered best when he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Don't turn back is our topic and title today on CNV, which is great encouragement as we start the new year and look to chapter 6 of John's Gospel. Now here's Mike with the conclusion of our study.
The devil's the one confusing you. He's surrounding you. He's using everything you have against you. No, we struggle. People struggle with life. You think of Naaman. Here is this young woman that believes in miracles. You may be a young woman that is in a very rich man's house working as a maid. Or maybe you clean for them or something. And you have access to power. And you may not have power, but you have access. And you can share the truth with someone. When you stop and think of Naaman, a general covered with leprosy, gnarly nose and ears and hands and fingers and all the agony of the ugliness, but a brilliant man in his head. This man was brilliant. And he led the armies of Syria. And this young woman says, "Sir, Mr. General Naaman, I'd like to tell you, there is a prophet in the land. His name's Elijah. And this Elisha can help you. And he's got a friend that works for him named Gehazi. And if we could just make an appointment to go see him, I know and I trust, sir, you are such a good boss and have such a nice heart that his God could heal you." So he saddles up his white charger. So he goes riding, and he's got a whole cadre of troops with him. And they're, you know, riding along. And all of a sudden, he comes out. Soldier bangs on the door. And the prophet said to his servant, "Go out and tell him to dunk himself in the river 7 times. And on the 7th time, he'll be healed." Servant Gehazi goes out and says, "Sir, the prophet says, go dunk yourself in the river 7 times. And on the 7th time, you'll be healed." Boy, that general got arrogant and proud. You know the story. "Why should I do that? Why didn't he come and see me?" No, when God's working, you don't need to see any man. Come on, give God the opportunity to show you that he's the one in charge. So he comes along and he's so angry, and this one soldier says, "Hey, hold it, sir. Why wouldn't you do this? We have 7 greater rivers than this Jewish river. I could dunk myself in any, but sir, hold it just a second. Just think. Calm down. If what he says isn't true, you've lost nothing. But if he says something that is true and you dunk yourself the 7 times in the river, what have you got to lose? See, what do all you people that don't read your Bible have to lose if you start reading it? What do you have to lose? Just plug into our daily devotion and start that way. Click on the little scriptures down at the bottom and you'll follow through. If you want to, beyond the 2 or 3 paragraph devotion, you'll be able to follow through in the Bible and have it read in a year. Or faster if you want to speed it up. What does he have to lose? He's okay. So this gnarly dude gets off the white horse, walks down to the Jordan River, ka-plunk. He goes all the way under and comes up gnarly. Still gnarly. Can I see the mirror? Ooh, gnarly, gnarly nose, ears, face. Gnarly. 3 times. 4 times. The seventh time he comes up, and the Holy Bible says that he had skin as fresh as a baby. Completely healed and restored. People struggle. We struggle with all sorts of things. We're not the only ones that struggle. Now, if you looked at verse 66, I found something very interesting there. Because in your Bible, that's 666. Ooh, must be the Antichrist verse. No, it just happens to be chapter 6, verse 66. But in this verse, Jesus was saying tough things that caused people to struggle even more when they were designed to help people not struggle. From that time, 666, it says, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus was saying tough things, ladies and gentlemen, and this caused many of his disciples not to follow anymore. The name of this message is Don't Turn Back. Some of you have turned back. A few of you are considering turning back. Don't turn back. The devil would like you to quit. He'd like you to stop. He would like you not to make it through this test and make it over this hurdle or to go another step of faith that you've gone so far. Don't turn back. You see, number one, they were within the sight of the kingdom of heaven. All of them were standing there right within the sight of the kingdom of heaven. Number two, they're privileged with a taste of the bread of life. And number three, they're watching the living water flow, and they nevertheless still walked away. You could be so close, but one tough assignment could be all that the devil wants to break you because you're so proud and arrogant. It has to be your way, not God's way. And Jesus said, look, you're going into Old Testament theology. You're talking about manna. You've got some wrong concepts there. That was miraculous bread. That did help the people get through. But two major points you're missing here. Moses didn't give you that bread. You're going back to religious theological reasoning. And number two, Moses didn't give it, but God gave it to you. And number two, everybody that ate it died. It just sustained them. And the best you can get from this world or religion is being sustained. That's the best. Little band-aid. These were hard sayings. They're so close. They're seeing the living water ooze out of Jesus. They're within biting distance of the bread of life. The kingdom of heaven is right in front of them. Eternal life, never dying, is theirs for just simply believing. But instead, they turn back. Don't ever turn back. In a short sentence, St. John actually captured one of the saddest moments in the mystery of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. It's one of the saddest moments. From that day, they never came back to him. And how many of us have friends and family that have turned from the great Lord of all? That's a sad point. That's why your heart is sad. You never stop praying because God could turn him back your way. And then briefly, the second thing that I see out of here is that life's lessons have eternal meaning. We forget that so often. In verse 60 to 65, they said, these are hard sayings. This guy's taken us someplace that nobody else has ever taken us. They were scratching our ears. They were patting us on the back. They were giving us holidays. They were making us religious. They weren't challenging us. They weren't showing us that we're supposed to be proactive. They're just, live your lives. We'll control you religiously. Rome will control you politically. You just go along your way. Drop your shekels into the box. Hey. And they sat back like fat cats, doing nothing for the people in the name of God, except binding them up and never releasing them for the joy of evangelism or ministry. You see, in verse 60 through 65, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. You know, if you study that word, it's not merely a hard saying. It is the same word that was used in the Old Testament to mean, this is insufferable. What this man is asking me to give up, to believe him and follow him, is insufferable. This was a dagger to the soul of pride and flesh. That word insufferable, if you want to go another layer deeper, is very important. It literally, from the dictionary, means so annoying, so unpleasant, so uncomfortable, as to literally be unbearable. When Jesus speaks, it can be so uncomfortable, so annoying, to the point that it is unbearable. unbearable. I cannot take this struggle. It means I have to die to myself to truly follow this man. And that I have to let him be my complete source of everything from this day forward. It's unbearable. I want my private time. I want my little peep show on the computer. I want to go see those movies. I want to smoke this. I want to drink that. I want to go here. I want to do that. I want to spend my money my way. I want to treat people the way I want. I want to defend myself. I want to lash out when I want to. I want to be aggressive and punch them when I want to. I want to shred people. I want to hurt people. I want to use people. I want to abuse people. I want to confuse people. I want to manipulate people. I want the whole world to be at my beck and call so I never feel uncomfortable. Huh. Sounds like a little God. But how many people live those kind of lives? And when the challenge comes to die to yourself and pick up your cross daily and follow him, it's a hard saying. Is he talking about eating his own flesh, drinking his blood? Is he saying that a true Jew, to go to heaven, has to be a cannibal? Every one of you that just heard this message absolutely know that that is not true. You know that he's talking in figures of speech. And you are nowhere educated, nor am I, within an iota of what these men went through to get their education and to accumulate their power and their wealth. No, they didn't care about you and me. They didn't care about the everyday person. They cared about them. They cared about themselves. These are hard sayings. No, they're insufferable. They're so annoying, they're so uncomfortable, they're so painful that they're unbearable. We couldn't put it on like a backpack and walk to school with it, let alone to the bus stop. Life's lessons have eternal meanings. What if the Israelites turned around halfway through the Red Sea? Oh, I'm going to go back. Whoa, I'm getting some sprinkles on me. Whoa, what if that caves in? Whoa, the noise is too loud. Oh, the odds are against me that I can make it the rest of the way. I'm halfway. Come on, let's go. No, I don't know. I could go and surrender to those guys and either, you know, whatever, and I could go back that way. Be easier. What if the Israelites had done that? What kind of a story would that be for you and me to say that we can never make it through the hard situations? You're all struggling. You can make it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't go back. Don't go back. What if they were in the middle of the Jordan River? 2 million of them walking across. The priest standing there in the middle of the Jordan. The Jordan is stopped. It's just building up, and God's hand is stopping it. And the whole tribes of Israel start going across to the other side into Canaan land to receive their blessings. Don't turn back. You're almost there, ladies and gentlemen. You're almost home. You're almost ready to enter into the joy of the Lord, good and faithful servant. You're almost on the streets of gold. It's here before you. You can see the oozing of the living water. You can touch the bread of life. You can see the kingdom of heaven. Don't turn back. The devil would have you turn back. Yes, he would. How about instead of 7 times going around Jericho, shouting and blowing the trumpets, they went around 3 1/4 times. Well, I'll go the quarter because that's 1 lap around the high school track, and I jog, and I know that I can say I went 1 time around Poway High School track. No, they went the full time that God said. They blew the trumpets at the right time, God said. Yes, life's lessons have eternal meanings, and those little stories from the Bible, if you read them, will work for you in Point Loma or Rancho Bernardo as easily as they did for the people marching around Jericho. Eternal. Because you are an eternal creature. You have been advertised to, you're dying. And so you need this eyeshadow to make you look like you're younger and you're alive. And you need to get this little thing and do this every morning, guys. And you need to take this little pill so you'll think you're younger. Because you're dying. They don't say that though. But you say, my gosh, I'm dying. Those men on television are doing that by taking that. Wow, I better have a few boxes. Yeah. You mean I can hide that in my closet or under my bed and I can get it out and I'll have abs like a washboard? No. About the 3rd time the rubber band breaks, you quit. Dumb thing. We all struggle. Life's lessons have eternal meanings. David, what if David had changed his mind halfway down the riverbed, running towards Goliath? I'm going to get you. Look pretty big. Okay, I'm going back. It'd be a different place today. Don't turn back. You know, it says very interestingly there in verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, does this offend you? Does Jesus offend you? Does God's will offend you? I found it interesting that that word offended, for them to be offended, was the word scandalize. Is this a scandal? If you embrace me, will you be the scandal of your family and your neighbor? Oh, she's a Christian now. She doesn't have sex with the boys. Oh, he's a Christian now. He doesn't get stoned anymore. Oh, he's a Christian now. He's confessing all the things he stole from the warehouse. Oh, she's a Christian now. She won't come to our little desperate housewife viewing every week. Is it a scandal for you to continue the struggle with Jesus? That's what the word means. Scandalized. Does this offend you? This is the king saying, do my words offend you? I'm the guy that made you. Do I offend you? Is this offensive that I would say you need to make a choice? You need to cross over this line in the sand? Luke chapter 9, Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and then looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Nobody. Thirdly, humility, and finally, will end the struggle for you. If you would turn with me just one moment before you go home, and you'll look at Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Numbers 11, 1. Follow me with this. It's just a couple of short verses. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. His anger was kindled. The fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. The children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Well, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Oh, poor little babies. They murmured against the Lord and it angered him. We remember the melons and the garlic and the leeks and the smells and the aromas. But they don't mention the whippings and the beatings and the rapings and the handcuffing and the torture and the building of bricks without straw and the meanness and the taxation and the poverty and the lack of cleanliness and the lack of sewers and flushing toilets and all the things that were deprived by the Egyptians from them. But what do they remember? The mixed multitude. You've let people into your lives that are mixed in, that are ungodly. And the mixed multitude always talk about, can you smell that? Can you see that? Did you touch that? Have you ever tasted one of these? The sensory perception is the target of the devil in your soul. If he can capture what you hear and see and smell and touch and taste, he's got you for eternity. I'll go back to, oh, those memories of the garlic. Really, that's eternal value. Really. Oh, the melons. Melons, all right. Onions. Oh, those onions. Oh, yeah. Oh, I got to go back to that video. Oh, I have to go back to that house. I need to date him again. Oh, if I could just invest like I did last year. All the things that bring the flesh up and glorify you. Are these hard sayings and do I offend you? Many that day quit being the disciple of Jesus Christ. We remember the fish. You know, humility doesn't complain. Humility is seen as, Lord, to whom shall we go? That's humility. You have the words to eternal life. Why would we want to turn back? We don't want to go to the land of ifs and maybes or garlics and onions. Because you and I think linear. We think all of our ducks in a row. January to December. first paycheck to the last paycheck. Everything's in a line, everything's in a row, but God doesn't think linear. We think that way. God's trying to invade our mindset and worldly way of interpreting life. God's word rips the veil, melts the force field, and erases the lies. In Psalm 112, unto the upright, there arises light in the darkness. For God is gracious and full of compassion and of righteousness. His words may offend, but they bring light where there's death and darkness. In conclusion, God's words through Jesus this day were designed to reveal His great love and eternal aspirations for you. He was thinking of you and them, but He's thinking of you. The result of this message was the loss, actually, of most of the Lord's disciples. He turned around and said, what about you 12? They had just fed 15,000. Tens of thousands are following Him. What about you 12? Boy, that's a big loss of membership, huh? The result of this message was the loss. They went back to what? The old life, the old religion, the old hopeless situations. Don't turn back, ladies and gentlemen. There are a lot of opportunities for you to struggle and turn back. Peter spoke, says, well, we believe. But he spoke as if he believed they all believed, but they didn't all believe. And just because you go to a church doesn't mean that you're going to make it. You need to let these words invade your soul. The preaching of the Word of God always leads to a sifting of the hearts. Oh my goodness, my value system's being challenged this morning. Yes, it's hard, it's difficult, it's offensive, it's unbearable. I'm living like this, and the words from this sermon are like this, and I'm over here, and I've got to make a choice. Yes. God will draw sinners to the Savior through the power of truth, and the truth is in His Word. And those who reject His Word will reject His Savior. But those who receive His Word will receive His Savior and experience a new birth of eternal life. Are these words difficult? Is this offensive to you? You're rejecting the words of eternity, then you're rejecting the Savior. Are these words hard and unbearable, but you're willing to press on? Then you've found the way to eternal life. Shall we stand and shall we pray? We thank You so much, God, that we can stand and pray, and that we can be Your son and Your daughter, that we can love You and we can trust You. We thank You that Your word is truth and Your word is life. And as we have seen, that it can be hard, it can be offensive, it can be unbearable, some of the things that You ask us to do. We've spent our entire life, Father, in these bodies, and this flesh has ruled. It's difficult for us. And yet we know that You know that because You sent Your Son down here so He could experience and resist all of this that is difficult and still do Your will and not His own. Would You help us as men and women this very moment, Lord, to ask Your forgiveness? That we are so strong-willed, we're so arrogant, we're so proud, we're so defensive of us when we're to die and let Jesus be in charge. We give our hearts to You and we pray forgiveness of our sins. And though Your way is difficult and it may be offensive and it may be unbearable at times, we don't want to turn back. May You give an extra power to these boys and girls and to these men and women that they'll always press forward and that they'll always look to Your word with eternal meaning and repercussions. They'll go to the stories and see that these are not just stories, but they're words of hope for us to feast upon, to eat them, the bread of life, so that we will not doubt and we will see that others have struggled more than we have, and they've made it. So Jesus, may You just bless this crowd. Jesus, may You become so real to them. Jesus, may Your love cover a multitude of their sins. Jesus, may Your lordship begin anchoring into the depths of their souls. Jesus, may You help these marriages. Will You help these people that have struggles that are so overwhelming and unbearable? May they begin to realize the joy of walking with You and not turning back. Bless them. Encourage them, strengthen them, and motivate them for Your honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we all pray. Amen.
And with that, we bring to a close our lesson on Don't Turn Back, taken from John's Gospel, chapter 6. Coming up on our Friday broadcast, Mike will ask the question, what more do we need? If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through John, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. As we learn about life-changing principles and applications from the Bible, perhaps you can think of a friend who you can tell about this weekday program. We appreciate you taking part in the growth of this radio outreach. We'll continue our study of the Gospel of John on the next CNV broadcast with Mike McIntosh, and we hope that you'll join us at that time. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.